Good morning. I have the privilege of taking us through Psalm 27 today, a psalm of cheerful hope. This hope is that which the psalmist has, and which we can have too, if we lean on the Lord. This psalm is one of my personal favorites, and is one that I always turn to in times of trial. It offers not only great encouragement, but also a grounding of my mind back in His Word. So without further ado, let's read it together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? When evildoers came against me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies stumbled and fell. Though an army deploys against me, my heart will not be afraid. Though a war breaks out against me, I will still be confident. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking Him in His temple. For He will conceal me in His shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of His tent. He will set me high on a rock. Then my head will be high above my enemies around me. I will offer sacrifices in His tent with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Lord, hear my voice when I call. Be gracious to me and answer me. My heart says this about You. Seek His face. Lord, I will seek Your face. Do not hide Your face from me. Do not turn Your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not leave me or abandon me, God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. Because of my adversaries, show me Your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path. Do not give me over to the will of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. We don't know precisely when this psalm was written, but we can infer that it was a time of great trial for David. He was being pursued by enemies, and as such, he couldn't spend the time that he desired to spend in the temple with the Lord. His description of war in verses 1 to 3 is quite vivid, speaking of evildoers who assail him and desire to devour his flesh. He envisions an army of enemies encamped around him, warring against him. This language conveys a great truth that no matter how great or threatening a danger may be, having confidence in the Lord is not misplaced. David certainly possessed this confidence. So how do we develop this confidence? Well, there are several points I'd like to make from this psalm that may aid in doing so. Firstly, we must remind ourselves of the attributes of God. From verse 1, He is my light and my salvation, the stronghold of my life. It is not merely said that the Lord gives light and salvation and a stronghold, but that He is the light, the salvation, the stronghold. As Charles Spurgeon so neatly puts it, the powers of darkness are not to be feared, for the Lord our light destroys them, and the damnation of hell is not to be dreaded by us, for the Lord is our salvation. The two rhetorical questions then asked by the psalmist are put in their right context. Whom should I fear? Whom should I dread? Even in the face of armies and wars, the answer to both of these questions is nobody. As said in Romans 8 verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Secondly, we must look at God's past deliverance. Verse 2 is especially notable here because it is written in the past tense. When evildoers came against me to devour my flesh, my foes and enemies stumbled and fell. We so often lose sight of just how faithful God has been to us in the past, and we so easily fall into the trap of looking inwardly at the here and now of our trials and difficulties. In doing so, we rob ourselves of the joy and encouragement of knowing that the God who delivered us before, who is completely unchanging, will do so again. Third, we need to dwell in the presence of the Lord, filling our minds with the things of Him. This is encapsulated in verses 4 to 6, where David says that his one desire in the midst of terrible trial is to dwell in the house of the Lord. This may seem quite absurd on first glance, and from a human perspective, it probably is. However, this shows us just how little we appreciate of God's beauty, thinking that there is anything that could justify turning our gaze away from the glory of God. Sam Storms puts it this way: it is precisely when life is at its worst that riveting our hearts on Him is far and away the most reasonable thing to do. Meditating on Scripture takes our focus off ourselves and puts it onto the One who is in control of all things past, present, and future. It reminds us of God's sovereignty, His majesty, His holiness, His justice, mercy, love, peace, patience. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Then, worshipping Him in song and spirit translates that reminder into a praise. This has a wonderful way of grounding you, reminding you of how big God is compared to your trial, and how ephemeral your trial is compared to the lasting joy we will experience in eternity. However, even in the here and now, Psalm 27 tells of the immediate result of dwelling in God's presence. From verses 5 and 6, "For He will conceal me in His shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of His tent. He will set me high on a rock." This does not say that the trial will end or that there will be no future trials, but that God will be with us through them all. In the fourth place, we must come to the Lord in prayer and petition. Verses 7 to 12 really do exemplify Philippians 4 verse 6 and 7, which says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to the Lord. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Back in our psalm, we can see in verses 7 to 12 that David certainly does present his requests to the Lord. "Lord, hear my voice when I call. Be gracious to me and answer me. I will seek your face. Do not hide your face from me." It's important to note here that when we ask God to answer our prayers, we must seek his face and listen for his reply. It's not enough to just ask and then move on. David then appeals to God's past faithfulness in verse 9. "You have been my helper. Do not leave me or abandon me, God of my salvation." He also reminds himself of God's character in verse 10, saying, "Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me." Then in verses 11 and 12, we find David's request: "Because of my adversaries, show me your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path." Note that David is not asking for his own way to be fulfilled, but for God's will to be done. He is also asking for guidance to walk along that path. The humility of this verse is quite astounding. In the midst of trials, we so often try to control as much as we can and then panic when we can't. But this example set by David calls us to relinquish the control we so tightly hold onto and obediently accept God's will, whatever it may be. However, we aren't just relinquishing control to some unknown entity. We're giving it to the all-knowing, all-powerful, loving God who ultimately knows best for us. This takes us straight into our next point, and that is trusting in the Lord's unchanging character. The scriptures reveal to us that He is good and faithful, working all things together for the good of those who love Him. He does things in His own timing, which is not always our timing, but we know that His ways are far superior to ours. Therefore, knowing God's character, we can wait on Him, and we can be courageous in the midst of the wait. Verses 13 and 14 are such an encouragement to lean on Him. "I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord." So when trials come, what is your first response? Do you turn to the Lord and fill your mind with Him? Although this can be a difficult thing to do and feels contrary to our sinful nature, it is so worth doing. Once you've done it, you can look back at God's faithfulness and be even more encouraged next time. So I implore you and myself as well, let's put our trust in the one who never fails, who cares for us, and wants us to cast our burdens on him.